you wake in a strange room. Your clothes are foreign, and the walls are covered in objects from a different world. You don't know where or when you are, or if you're still dreaming. There are footsteps in the hall. Jumping up, you race out of the room and into the streets. You have just entered the Twilight Histories.
Hi, I'm Jordan Harbour, and thank you for listening to the Twilight Histories on our 10th anniversary. Today, you will hear part 3 of Blue Dragons. Before we get started, I'd like to recommend a podcast to you. History of England, launched around the same time as the Twilight Histories. It's ancient. I remember when there was basically the history of Rome, ancient Rome refocused, Norman conquests, and a handful of other history podcasts. And that was it. David Crowther's History of England is one of those old guard shows. It's a piece of history in itself. And with over 300 episodes, David has mastered the craft. The History of England podcast is funny, it's meticulous, and personally, I find it very relaxing. David's got that kind of voice. I remember once years ago, there was an episode where you could hear birds chirping ever so slightly in the background. I had this vision of David recording in some English garden on a sunny day. It's a podcasting moment I remember fondly from those early days when I was first discovering what a podcast was. Go check out the History of England podcast. And now for today's show, Blue Dragons, Part 3, by myself, Jordan Harbour. One of the creatures rises from its crouched position. It raises its blowgun to its lips and points it at you. "Wait, wait," you say. Miraculously, the creature pauses. Cold yellow eyes protrude from the darkness between the cat's teeth. The creature makes a quick, rapid-fire chattering sound. You feel your chip desperately trying to translate the unknown language. If it is a language. The creature repeats the words more forcefully this time. You repeat the same words back, allowing the chip to contort your throat and tongue into strange, unnatural movements. The cat-clad creatures look at each other, surprised. Their weapons drop slightly. The leader pulls the obsidian blade from his belt. He flips his wrist as though pretending to throw it to the ground, then chatters out a few exotic syllables. It wants you to throw your knife. You speak the same sounds back, but you keep your knife in your hand, your knuckles white from your tight grip.
"Don't let them kill you!"
April shouts down to you. The creatures leap back and stare at the vine sack dangling from the tree. They chatter among each other while your chip tries to categorize and process the strange sounds. It is a moment you could have grabbed your knife and ran at them, but you decide to risk a more peaceful approach first. "Talk," you say. It's the first word in this odd language your chip has successfully translated. "Talk," you say again, and motion to your mouth.
"Talk,"
the leader says back. He follows this with a number of short words and staccato bursts. They sound hostile. The creature inches forward. It again points at your knife and chatters.
"Knife,"
you repeat back in its language, your second translated word.
"You knife me."
"No." The creature raises its blowgun and the others follow.
There's nothing you can do now. The knife will be useless if they shoot you, and it's clearly stopping the dialogue. The knife is your most important bargaining chip, but it will do you no good if you're dead. Okay, me knife you. You lay the knife on the ground and walk slowly back, your hands raised over your head. The creature approaches, grabs your knife, and runs back to the group. They crowd in, admiring the blade while chattering away. Your chip is in overdrive, locking in vocabulary, creating lexical matrices. You need another bargaining chip. Fruit, you say. Me fruit you. They turn their heads as a group. You fruit, the leader says. Yes, fruit. Girl, me go, you fruit, friends.
Fruit where?
There, you say, pointing at your shirt a few meters away. The delicious ripe purple fruit has poured out onto the jungle floor like a delicious cornucopia. The leader snaps at one of the creatures, who races over and scoops up the fruit in its cat claws. Me fruit you, me friend, she friend, you say and point up to April. They look up. They huddle together, talking. You try to pick out words as your chip translates. One of the words is repeated over and over again. Skins. Are they talking about your skin? Friend, you say, interrupting them. Me fruit you, me knife you, me friend you.
Skins,
the leader says, gestures with its hands as though taking off its cat skins. Oh, you say, you want my clothes, you little bugger, you say in English. They already have your shirt, which is acting like a sack for the fruit. You take off your pants and toss them at the group. The leader catches them, and they all chatter in excitement.
You feet skins.
You take off your boots. I'm going to miss those, but it's better to save your life now and miss your clothes later.
All skins,
the creature says, and points at your underwear.
You get this?
You shout up to April in English.
Hand them over, she says.
You whistle through your teeth. Take off your underwear and toss them.
Skins, knife, fruit, friends, okay?
They chatter some more, trying on your clothes. They drape over the little creatures like bedsheets. The leader points at you.
No hair, skins? Soft?
What? You say.
You skins. No hair skins. Soft skins. Me want,
the creature says. It puts your knife on its forearm and pretends to cut.
No, you say, and you feel your skin crawl at the thought of their knives cutting into you. Yes, no hairskins good. Me want. Cut no hairskins. Wear no hairskins.
No cut. Friends. No cut me skins. Friends.
No hair soft?
No. The little creature is practically salivating as it eyes you up and down. It raises its blow dart to its lips.
Wait! Blood! Darts hurt skin!
The creature looks unsure.
Skin soft! Very soft! Darts make skin no soft! Make ugly! Make red! Hard! Bruises!
The creature raises the blow dart to its lips. A dart thwacks into your calf. It aches like a thousand wasp stings. You scream and pull the dart out. You fall to the ground and grab your leg. It's already starting to swell.
Are you okay? April says. No! Little bugger shot me!
They chatter away. The leader steps closer to you, looking down at your wound.
You kick him and he flies through the air with a squeak.
They're all talking about your soft skin and how delicate it is. It's the softest skin they've ever seen. They wonder where you came from. What a strange creature you are. They debate how they will skin you if even a small dart will cause such ugly swelling. They don't want to ruin the softness. Your leg is throbbing.
The pain is so great that even the pulsing of your blood causes cascades of pain. You're at least thankful the puncture is red and swelling, which seems to repulse them. But you're also worried about the poison. One of the creatures tosses you a leaf, tied with roots, like a little package.
"Eat," the leader says.
"What's this?"
"Eat, heel skin."
You open the leaf. 3 plump maggots writhe in the leaf, as though burned by the sun.
"Ugh,"
you say.
"Why aren't you eating it?" April says.
"They're maggots."
"You're going to die, you idiot. Just eat them."
You close your eyes and toss the maggots into your mouth. They pop against your molars, and you retch. You swallow quickly before you retch again. The little creatures laugh. April lands on the jungle floor with a thump next to you. Your heart stops. Your whole body freezes, waiting for the scream. It doesn't come. Your adrenaline is so high you forget about the pain in your leg. You crawl over to her.
"April, can you hear me?"
you say, kneeling beside her. She's still tangled in the web of vines. She blinks. She wheezes.
"Oh, thank God," you say under your breath.
You pull off the vines and steady her neck in case she has a spinal injury. She wheezes, the screams unable to come out. Is one of her lungs punctured? Her right leg is twisted, the femur cracked in two. Her foot is at her chest, the whole upper leg sucked into her body by the tendon. You feel her ribs, they're cracked. It's like a bone gelatin. She raises her head and looks down. She tries to scream. The creatures have crowded around. One of them pokes her with his blow dart and says something about her soft skin. They all laugh.
"Piss off," you say.
You grab its blowgun and snap it in half. You throw it at the stunned creature as it runs back to its pack. April needs medical attention and fast. You've been through enough wars, seen enough violence to tell that a broken femur is often fatal, and you have no idea how bad her internal injuries are. You doubt these creatures have the medical skills to properly treat her, even if they wanted to. But you have no way to get her out of here. You can't call for help. You're stuck in this world until you're pulled out. An idea flashes through your mind. The terraformers. If they can terraform a planet, surely they can fix up April. You have to somehow get to them, regardless of the risk. You have no choice. It's either that or let her die.
"It's going to be okay, April," you say. "I'll get you out of this."
"Screw you,"
April says through clenched teeth.
"I'll get you help."
You try to stand, but fall over. If the maggots are actually an antidote, they seem to be taking their time. If you can't walk, there's no way you'll be able to fight off all these creatures and drag April halfway across the jungle to the terraformers. After much chatter, the creatures decide it's best to bring you and April to their village. They need a poison that will kill you, but won't make your skin swell. Only the Sky Lord has such a poison. Whatever the Sky Lord is, April is a broken mess. She'll be easy for them to move, but you are still dangerous. They debate whether to risk damaging your soft skin more with darts.
"No,"
you say, interrupting them. "No darts. I go village you. No fight, no fight," you say. The creatures craft a gurney out of branches and vines. They put April on the gurney. For you, they find a large branch and tie your hands and feet to it. They heft the log over their shoulders, and you dangle from it like a hog. They carry you and April through the jungle, singing and laughing. They haggle over who will tell the story of the soft skin creatures and what role each of them played in your capture. Poor April lets out a gasp of pain every time she bounces. Your hands and feet ache where the vines dig in. More of the creatures appear from the jungle, attracted by the songs. Some are in animal skins. Others only have a belt, a knife, and perhaps some feathers or paint on their slick fur.
They definitely look like the creatures carved into the walls of the stone structure you found earlier. Their eyes are large, their bodies a cross between a monkey and a rat. They look a bit like sea otters, with longer legs and arms evolved for bipedal travel or climbing trees. You're brought into their village. It's all tree forts, with fine bridges strung between them. The houses, if that's what you can call them, are made of some sort of grayish-brown material, shaped into what looks like massive misshapen beehives, but with holes for windows and doors. The bridges and windows are filled with the creatures who howl and sing as the hunting party arrives, singing as loudly as they can. Many creatures crawl down the trees to have a look at you, and soon you're surrounded by hundreds of them, all trying to poke and prod you and April and sing. Your party stops in the middle of the village clearing. They put you and April down. You can hardly hear her wheezing through all the excited noises around you. You feel your chip grow hot, as if it works to decipher the language. A creature with a wildly painted catskin and large feathers pushes up to you. Clearly, this creature has power in the group. You hear the creatures call her the Sky Lord, and you recall that this is the creature who can mix poison or medicine.
"What you?"
she says. "We human. We far come."
"You skin no hair. Good, soft skins."
"Woman hurt. Need help."
"Woman die. Her soft skin me."
"No. Woman no die. Need help."
"She die. Soft skin me. Woman no die. Her skin know you."
The leader of your little pack pipes in. He explains to the Sky Lord that your skin is too soft to cut without ugly swelling, and that they need a special poison to kill you. The Sky Lord nods wisely.
"We poison soft skin beasts slow. No ugly swell."
The Sky Lord leans down and pinches April's cheek.
"Oh, very soft. Me want skin," she says. "You no cut skins, no kill," you say.
She laughs. All the other creatures laugh, the laughter rising from the bridges and the hive houses above.
"Bring soft skins to cut house. Me get poison."
She pushes her way into the crowd of creatures. You're hefted back into the air and carried to the base of a tree draped in vines and nets which appear to act like a primitive elevator system. You and April are packed into a net and are pulled up. April wheezes in pain, her face pressed against your chest. Your net is opened onto a platform and creatures grab you and pull. Some of them touch your skin as you pass, luxuriating in the softness. You're inside one of the hives. The smell in this building is intense, and you quickly see why. There's rotting, festering blood on the floor. Tufts of fur, bits of rotting flesh, bones, and bodies are piled high on one side, and on the other is a pile of neatly stacked carved skins. They place you on the floor, which is sticky with blood. Flies swarm over your body. You try to swat them from your mouth, but your hands are still bound. Wretched-looking workers covered in blood crowd in to have a look at you in April. They pinch and prod your skin, testing it for strength and tenderness. They run their fingers across your bodies in different ways, debating how they will carve you. The Sky Lord arrives, flanked by her retinue of minions. She holds a package of leaves out to you, similar to the one from earlier.
"Poison," she says. "You eat."
She unwraps the packages to reveal maggots, black with death.
"No,"
you say.
"You eat. Die slow. You skin no ugly swell. Good soft skin."
"No," you say again. The Sky Lord looks frustrated. She consults with the skin carvers. One of them suggests crushing your skull and points to a stone hammer. The Sky Lord looks thoughtful.
What best skin?
April says in their language, punctuating each word through clenched teeth.
Huh?
The Sky Lord says, surprised.
What best skin?
The creatures look confused.
Best skin?
She looks at you and April, then back again.
No, not us. Best skin,
she says, and points to one of the piles of skins.
Best skin?
Yes. What best skin?
She says some word your chip hasn't been able to translate yet, but her lips curl, and the others around you seem to salivate at its sound, but also show fear.
Dragon skin,
April says.
Blue dragon skin?
Yes,
the head creature says.
Get blue dragon skin. No kill us. No take us skin.
Get dragon skin?
Get blue dragon skin? Yes, blue dragon.
She points at you.
Cut blue dragon skin. Give you.
The creatures look at you. They burst out in peals of staccato laughter.
Blue dragon big. Blue dragon red fire burn. Blue dragon knife paw.
Blue dragon world destroy. You no kill blue dragon. Blue dragon kill you.
Get the flare gun, April says to you in English.
Why?
Get it and fire a flare. Show them that you can breathe fire, too, like a dragon.
Oh, good idea. But we don't have the pack.
Ask them,
April says. You turn to the Sky Lord.
I kill dragon with red fire.
The creatures grow silent, their eyes skeptical.
You, red fire?
Show.
I need Bagskin's me.
The Sky Lord looks at her followers. They chatter for a moment. A command is given. Then one of them runs off.
How big, blue dragons?
You say.
Big as village.
Where, blue dragons?
Sky.
How many, blue dragons?
100 and 100 and 100 and 100.
Blue dragons make big cloud house? You say, recalling the term you heard one of them use in passing to describe the atmospheric regulators.
Yes. Blue dragons build cloud house, destroy Sky Lord people. Me want blue dragon skins.
When blue dragons kill Sky Lord people?
100 summers, 100 winters.
You see blue dragons now?
No, old stories of ancestors. Blue dragons destroy great city. Ancestors run to jungle.
This blue dragon, she says, and opens 6 or 7 skin shirts to reveal what appears to be a faded blue scale. The scale is about as long as your forearm, and it looks tough. You ancestors kill blue dragon?
No. Ancestors find blue dragon skin in city after destroy.
The creature runs back, panting and carrying your backpack. You're about to reach into your pack when the Sky Lord grabs it.
Me, red dragon fire, here.
You point to your pack.
What look like?
Black. Handle. Round knife, like blowgun.
Oh, here,
she says, and pulls out the flare gun.
Yes, you say.
You open it. The chamber is empty.
I need fire. Rocks. Here,
you say, and point to a side pouch. The Sky Lord opens the pouch and hands you one of the rounds. You put it in the chamber and snap it shut. You suddenly feel a strong temptation to fire it into the chest of the Sky Lord, but you know that would be pointless. Hundreds of little creatures would descend on you with their blades and blowguns. Even if you were on your own, your chances of survival would be near zero. But with April in the state she's in, no, there's only one option for you. You step outside the hut, point the gun into the air, and fire. The flare screeches into the sky in a red arc and explodes above the tree canopy. The village turns red and strobe flashes. The sky, the forest, the stunned faces of the creatures whose dilated eyes reflect the flares. Everything is red. The flare crackles and pops as it uses up the last of its fuel and falls into the jungle. Blues and greens and browns return, but the look on the creatures' faces remains in a state of awe. "I kill Blue Dragon," you say. "I get Blue Dragon skin you. I live. She live," you say, emphasizing the word.
"You kill Blue Dragon?" the Lord says, quiet, almost reverently. "Get Blue Dragon skin me? You live? Woman live."
"Yes."
"Yes," April says. "Good." "Three moons."
"Three moons?"
"Three moons. You Blue Dragon skin me, or woman soft skin me. 3 moons."
"Yes, 3 moons, April says.
"Good."
You stay with April as they set her leg. They laugh when she screams. They think her screams are funny. You hate the little creatures. You wonder if they are your ancestors or some strange branch that never took off in your timeline. You hope for the latter. The thought of sharing DNA with these little savages makes you cringe. "What that?" you say, grabbing one of the creature's hands before it can stuff a fat maggot into April's mouth.
"Pain! Stop pain!"
it says, fear in its eyes as you squeeze its wrists. Your hatred of the creatures must be showing on your face.
"Give me,"
April says. You inspect it. It's puffed up and seems to dance in strange, slow movements. You pinch its white belly, and a small squirt of yellowish goo sprays out onto the leaf. You take a tiny bit of the goo on your finger and lick it. You twitch your head back and retch. The creatures erupt in laughter. Your tongue goes numb.
"Okay, you idiot, give it to me,"
April says. You hand it to her. She bites the maggot with a pop and swallows. She relaxes. Her eyes droop. The skin on her face sags, and her body melts into the furs.
"Kill the dragon," she says.
"I'll kill 1,000 dragons if it gets you out of here." She smiles. An event you've only witnessed one other time so far on this trip. She's completely doped.
"Whoa," she says, furrowing her brow. "Your face, it just, oh, wow, shapes, colors."
"It must be a hallucinogen," you say. You begin to notice a tiny, almost imperceptible hint of it yourself, just from the small drop that touched your tongue. "Have you ever taken a hallucinogen before?"
"No."
"Try to rest. You'll need your sleep," you say.
"How can I sleep? Oh, what is this? I see hieroglyphs everywhere." "Yes, I see. I understand."
Her eyes are all pupils, dark, dark, swirling with visions. She no longer looks at you, but out beyond you, as though her eyes were whispering to spirits in another realm. Maybe she is in another realm, for all you know. You check her splint. The creatures have done a good job. The bone is set. The splint is strong and properly wound. A field medic from Napoleon's army couldn't have done a better job. But her leg is red and inflamed. The break must have caused immense damage to the muscle and fat inside her thigh when the tendon retracted, shrinking her leg. She might still die from infection. The leg may need to be amputated. She'll get a fever soon. You have no idea what other organ damage she has, or even broken bones. One of her lungs is surely deflated. Maybe that's why the Sky Lord gave you 3 days. It's because that's how long April has. You're sure of it now. The creature who gave her the drug lights a handful of grasses and wafts the smoke around her while singing in a wavering voice, something incomprehensible even to your chip.
Dragon. Blue dragon skin me, the Sky Lord says, whispering in your ear.
You pick up your backpack.
No, the Sky Lord says and grabs it. Bag me.
You want blue dragon? I need bag.
No, she says more forcefully. The other creatures perk up. They ready their weapons for a fight.
Okay, okay, you say, and hand over the bag. You manage to get your compass from a side pocket before letting go.
Me, she says and grabs at it. I need find dragon.
It's hard to explain in their language. Then you have a moment of inspiration. You kneel down and show the Sky Lord the compass. You point at the needle.
Little arrow, point at the sky, point at dragon, find dragon.
You lift your flare gun for emphasis.
Kill dragon.
The creature nods. Before she has a chance to react, you reach into your pack again and grab a couple cartridges for your flare gun.
Dragon fire, you say, and load one into the gun.
Now for your clothes.
Skins, me skins, belt skins, feet skins.
The creature laughs.
No fur, soft skin cold.
Yes, cold, you say. Soft skin, feet hurt. Cold night, soft skin die. Bugs bite soft skin, me skins.
The creature keeps laughing, then looks thoughtful.
Okay, you skins. She snaps at one of the creatures who leaps to attention.
Take off, you skins, give.
The creature looks miserable, but obeys his master and removes its clothes. He presents them to you. They're tiny. All you can do is wrap them around your groin like a fur loincloth.
Me knife.
No.
Cut blue dragon skins. Me knife.
No.
How cut blue dragon skins?
The Sky Lord looks flustered. She motions to the creature who just offered you his skins.
You, give knife.
The creature looks like it's about to cry. It gives you its knife, an obsidian blade with a handle made of sinew. It's no longer than your compass and looks ridiculous pinched between your thumb and forefinger. Still, it's probably sharp enough for you to shave with.
Three moons, the Sky Lord says.
It's time to leave.
Three moons, you say, grumbling to yourself as you follow your compass through the dense jungle towards the atmospheric regulator.
Branches whip your skin, and your feet are screaming with pain. You press through. This is your second body. If needs be, you can order a third once you're back home.
Home, huh, whatever that means.
I'm doomed, you say, the frustration finally boiling over. I have to kill a flying blue dragon and bring the skins back to a tribe of bug-eyed otters, or they'll kill my client. And here I am, dressed like Tarzan.
You should be on track to reach the tower, but how many of your precious days it will take, you have no idea.
As night falls, you come to another pyramid. You climb it. This one is smaller and just barely reaches the canopy. You swing into the branches of a tree and climb. You manage to wrestle through the branches and push your head above the canopy. The sky is dark blue. A couple planets burn through the sky like scouts heralding the stars. You wonder if one of them is Venus.
There is the moon, a sliver of a moon. The dark side is a network of lights. The blue dragons must have colonized it.
There's a red, blinking light. You squint to see it in the dimming sky. It's growing larger, coming right for you. It's roaring, like a dragon, or like a rocket. It flies right over you, about 100 feet up. The roaring is deafening. The branches around you thrash, and you decide to hold them against the turbulence rather than cover your ears. You turn to see the rocket rumble away. Four bright yellow orbs mark its thrusters. The rocket is heading towards a tower, a great black shadow blocking the last vespers of a setting sun. The monolith thrusts into the sky, a huge sail of mass pumping out its pink cocktail of chemicals into the sky. It's close, much closer than you thought it would be. If you push yourself tonight, you should arrive by morning. You look back to the moon, bright and twinkling with civilization. One moon, you say. Two moons to go.
And that was Blue Dragons Part 3 by myself, Jordan Harbor. Keep an eye out for Part 4, which will drop next week. I've got some cool news. I just hired a professional audio engineer to help me out with my editing. His name is Z, and we just launched our first collaboration at Patreon. I'm so impressed. He's been working on audio dramas that are rich in sound effects, so he brings the Twilight Histories right up to that next level. The editing has always been my Achilles heel. It's a bottleneck that slows me down. So having Z take my shows to the finish line is truly liberating. The first show we're dropping is called Labyrinth of Doom, Part 1. This is the show our patrons are helping to build with their suggestions. They're playing a character, a Turkish Janissary, and they're about to enter a labyrinth that's considered one of the most impossible and deadly games in the multiverse. I personally don't think this character is going to survive, and I'm predicting this will end in death. This game is set to meet Grindr level 11. But who knows? Maybe our patrons will skillfully guide this character through the labyrinth and win the treasure at the end. If you want to join the fun, you can visit the website at twilighthistories.com and click through to our Patreon page. Or go straight to Patreon and run a search for the Twilight Histories. The Labyrinth of Doom awaits. I'm Jordan Harbor. Thanks for listening to the Twilight Histories. Until next time, take care.